talking with National Farmers Union President Roger Donson in North Dakota native, and you're back in your home state attending the North Dakota Farmers Union Convention, and you'll get that opportunity to address members. And so if we could wrap up your address into a few short minutes here, what are some of the key highlights, and what really are we stressing to the farmers and ranchers this year?
Well, I'm certainly going to talk a bit about sort of the current state of affairs. Mm-hmm. You know, the farm economy, tough shape, trade. Hopefully this is good news out of China, but we've been here before and it's fallen apart. And so, everyone, I think, is a little skeptical about whether this deal holds. And even if it does, it looks like it just kind of gets us back to where we were before we started down this road without making the really fundamental changes that China needs to make. But we'll see. But that certainly has been very disruptive to markets, and not just the Chinese thing, but sort of the way we've approached a lot of our trading partners around the world. I'll talk a little bit about biofuels and what's going on there, and the fact that these small refinery exemptions have sort of exploded under this administration, and how that's undercut demand for corn and ethanol. That helps push prices down. And then obviously the weather concerns, which are everywhere in the country this year, which adds to all of that stress level. I'm going to talk a little bit about longer term things that I think members need to be thinking about. I'm really concerned that these MFP payments, while they are very necessary, we just cannot depend on them. They are not long-term. This country doesn't have money to spend like this. I can't imagine that Congress is going to cough this kind of money up. This only happened because USDA has that CCC borrowing authority, and they borrowed this whole... The MFP payments in total are larger than the sum of all the Title I payments, which is dairy, ARC, PLC, plus all of the crop insurance subsidies. We spend 5 years in a farm bill working on all those, the safety net, and MFP is bigger than all of those. So it's a really, really big issue when they go away. If our markets aren't back, what do we do? My very strong feeling is that our reputation has been damaged long term, and that these markets aren't going to come back quickly. But we'll see. So all of which suggests that long term, we need to be thinking about how do we react to that, the fact that we're going to be a smaller player in a world that's getting bigger and bigger. All this new land that's come into production in Brazil, Argentina, and Eastern Europe as a result of what we've done with China, that land doesn't go back out of production once we have a deal. So that's going to be more competition against us long term. So we need to think about that. And I think we also need to really be thinking about what's this climate change environment going to talk about. We're the only country in the world right now that's not part of the Paris Agreement. I think it was Iran and Venezuela were the two other holdouts, and they've subsequently joined. And so, we will join the rest of the world again. And we need to think about how do we put policies in place that are going to work for agriculture instead of being regulated against agriculture. We're going to do that. We need a seat at the table. We need to be thinking about how do we develop a market for carbon so that there's another source of revenue, of income for farmers to do the things that society wants us to do. So I'll talk a little bit about that as well. Mm-hmm. But there's no shortage of challenges here. And what we started chatting about was the impact that it has on folks' mental health. And, we just yesterday again with Farm Bureau and the Farm Credit Council, we announced a joint program of educating folks and training trainers on how to deal with farm neighbors who are struggling with mental illness and have suicidal thoughts. And we're going to be providing training in front of our national convention to a bunch of our folks. Farm Bureau is going to do the same thing next month in front of their national convention. Michigan State University Extension has developed the training. They've rolled it out to all of FSA already. They're modifying it for use by us. An interesting footnote to that, something like close to half of all rural Americans have had feelings of depression, many of them suicidal thoughts. So this is not something that we should shun and pretend, oh, it's just a few people that have it. A big part of this effort that Zippy Duvall, who's the president of American Farm Bureau, and I initiated here a couple years ago with the opioid thing, was to try and talk about it enough so that folks get, we can start reducing the stigma that's associated with it. Almost everybody can make neighbors feel better by asking questions and being friends if you sense that something's wrong. And that's a really basic message that we need to get out to folks.
So when you mention, you know, you're going to provide this training at national, at the national convention, there's also another big event happening at national convention where you'll hang up your hat for the final time as president of the national organization. And so if you had to reflect on what you've done over these past years and some of the accomplishments, as well as what are your future plans to just enjoy life?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just one really big thing that drives me in Farmers Union, and that's to represent family farmers. That voice is so important in our state capitals, in Washington, D.C. You know, there's a lot of agricultural interests that are represented out there. Most of them tend to represent commodities more than the individuals. Other organizations tend to represent the agriculture industry, not so much just the family farmers. And that is something that I take very seriously. I mean, Farmers Union is a very grassroots organization. Our members develop our policy, and our first obligation is to the members to make sure that we advocate for public policy positions that make sense for them. So I'm proud of that. I will say that the organization is in a stronger position now than when I found it. Obviously, when I moved out to take over as president in early 2009, it was right on the heels of the Great Recession. So a lot of financial difficulties. Financially, the organization is very strong right now. Our membership is actually growing in probably three-fourths or more of our states, which is, that wasn't the case back then. I feel really, really good about that. North Dakota is growing dramatically, and North Dakota is like already one of our very largest states. But they've got a lot of operations, you know, insurance companies, insurance agencies that help drive membership. Many of our states don't have that. So to be growing membership in some of those smaller states is, it's very, very satisfying and very fulfilling. And I think our reputation on the Hill of speaking for family farmers is something that's very much intact. So I feel good about all of that. As to what our future plans are, you know, the farm here in North Dakota, we're in the process of transitioning that to our nephew. You know, he's on the place. It's his place. It's we don't have a home there anymore. We're probably going to end up moving out to Colorado where the grandkids are. But we're not in a hurry to do it. We'll probably be in the home where we're at right now in Arlington at least through the summer. And we'll see where it goes from there.